What happened last night?
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good morning. Good morning.
Doing a radio show in June is just really hard. There's just never anything to talk about. I mean, everything's been so predictable lately. Like, the Royals' start of the season were terrible. Are still terrible. Nothing's changed with the Chiefs in a while. No major front office shakeups. No releasing franchise caliber players. It's just been all very according to plan in Kansas City for the last month or so. Are you kidding me? There have been like four times in the last week when I've been like, oh, well, I guess we have to open the show with that on Sunday. Like, oh man, like the NBA draft's coming up. That'll be exciting. Josh Jackson will go somewhere. Hopefully Phoenix. He did go to Phoenix. We'll be able to start the show with that. Talk about Josh Jackson and Frank Mason, where they went. Maybe talk a little bit about, you know, the NBA draft in general. And, you know, whatever's going on with Kristaps Porzingis. That's how we'll open the show on Sunday. And then before the NBA draft even had a chance to roll out, then John Dorsey gets fired by the Chiefs. And he was fired by the Chiefs. They parted ways because they said, no, we don't want you for at least what you are asking for. So then that happens, and that trumps everything. And I hosted Sports Night Friday night, and we did like a 3.5 hour show, and genuinely 3 hours of it were straight up John Dorsey, Andy Reid talk. It was good. It was good, too. It wasn't like, I don't think it was like droning on 3 hours of Andy Reid. I was having a good time. And then the Royals get up to 500 with a crazy win on Friday night. As I was hosting Sports Night, that game was going on in front of me. And the ninth, that game went fast. And so as we were doing the show on Friday night, we're like, oh man, like I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to unpack all this stuff. Like we're probably going to have to do like a 2.5 hour little quickie or something here. And it slows down, and then the ninth inning comes around, and the Royals just start playing the longest inning in MLB history, I'm pretty sure. And Danny Klingsgill was doing the postgame show. So he came in the beginning of the bottom of the ninth to like set up to take over, and he pointed a knife at me. Nay, he wielded a knife and lifted it above his head as if he was Brutus and I was Caesar. So that I was going to open the show with that. I was going to say, I almost got stabbed to death by Danny Klingsgill. That was going to be my open. And then yesterday, the Royals go out and get above 500 for the first time in this often terrible feeling season, riding this incredible hot streak. I'll save you the tragedy of hearing me count wins and losses over the last month or so. But if you go to the Royals' schedule, there's a whole lot of green W's. That West Coast trip went really well. Then the home stretch against the AL East is going really well. We're going to have a chance to sweep the Blue Jays today. But yesterday, the Royals get above 500. Jason Vargas, as everyone saw coming, gets his 11th win of the season and is leading Major League Baseball in wins. Like, Jason Vargas might start the All-Star game. I said Jason Vargas might start the All-Star game. Are you awake yet? Are you with me here? Hello? Jason Vargas on the just barely above 500 Royals might start the... All right, you get it. Then I realized that NFL Network right now is doing a top 10 list of top 10 Peyton Manning games. I thought I might open the show with that. But I'm going to do instead, actually, just keep an eye on it throughout the show, and then every time one of those top 10 games is against the Chiefs, I'll let you know where that's ranked and everything. Because, God, that man has caused me more pain than my parents' divorce. My parents aren't divorced, but I'm saying that now because my mom is going to, like, call me during this segment. Like, why did you say that? What a terrible thing for you to say. Peyton Manning has caused me a lot of pain. My phone just lit up. I just see the little indication light that I have a Facebook message. But the Royals are above 500. And I don't know what percentage of reasonable fans thought that the Chiefs were going to get here, I don't know, a month ago. But they're now above 500, and they're two games back of Cleveland. And I feel pretty validated so far because I've been saying since before the season, the Royals are a 500 baseball team. And 500 baseball teams don't just go win-loss, 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 win-loss for 162 straight games. 500 baseball teams have big losing streaks, big winning streaks. You get really pessimistic, you get really optimistic. That's what Peyton Manning throwing a touchdown against the Chiefs is on the screen right now. And there's another one. Great. It's just such a pain. So many painful memories from this man. Like I said, that you don't even know what team he was doing it as. So stressful. 500 baseball teams are not perfectly 500. And the Royals are a 500 team right now. However, we're not even halfway through this season. So if you want to be optimistic, I think at this point, you have a bit right to be. Because every game in baseball matters. Your record's going to account for 162 by the end of it all. But the most recent games matter the most. Not just because you remember them most clearly, although that is part of it. There is a recency bias there where you say, what do you mean they're a 500 team? They've won, whatever, 14 of their last 20. I have no idea if that's even close. They've won a lot of their last recent set of games. What do you mean they're 500? I mean, they are. But it's not just recency bias. It's not just the Royals that I've seen most recently are the truest Royals as a false statement, because it's partially true. The team that you're going to see in late August isn't going to be the same team that you saw in early June. And that's how baseball works. Baseball, more than any other sport, has the capacity to make a team look entirely different after two-thirds of the season. In baseball, about the only thing you have to do is stay within striking distance of your division and then hope you're looking the best for that last stretch of 40 games or so. You know, in football, if you can avoid major injuries, your team is probably going to be pretty much the same throughout that season. You have 17 weeks and 16 games. But the identity of your team isn't going to change very much. Unless you're forced to have it change again by an injury or something. In basketball, you have a chance to gel because that's very often, I would say this. I feel like I'm going to get mad at this, but I think basketball very often is kind of the truest team sport because you've got five guys who can all actually touch the ball and they're operating ideally as one fluid unit. So you have the chance to get more comfortable gelling together. But with baseball, you've got 162 shots at this. The evolution of your team is going to be noticeable. And for the Royals, that's a That's good news. Because the team that we started with here in Kansas City was no fun and no good and had no hope. And all those things are different now. And as hesitant as I can be to buy into kind of, well, you know, they're just different. This team's just different. This group of guys, man, they're just different. Brandon Moss and Alex Gordon and Alcides Escobar, man. Those three guys had to all get on base for that win on Friday, and they did it, all batting under 200. Sometimes that just happens. I mean, sometimes guys who bat 200 get a hit one every five times. That's how that math works. Those three guys getting it in a row isn't necessarily sorcery. It's good timing. But at the same time, I had that kind of skepticism through a World Series run. So what do I know? I know right now that the Royals are two games out of a division that has been stuck together. I told you 2 weeks ago that Chicago and Detroit were going to sink to the bottom and that Cleveland was going to jump Minnesota and those teams are going to rise to the top. I said that 2 weeks ago. I could demand that Charlie go find me saying that, but it would be literally an impossible job. He would have to listen to so much of my whiny voice. So don't even, I'm not even going to ask you to do that, Charlie. All I ask you to do at this point is to get here before 9:02.
Yeah.
And you've done that successfully.
I already hear your voice enough for 3 hours every week. So what everyone has to do,
this is you're doing this to everyone, but what everyone has to do now is just trust me that I'm telling the truth. Or decide they don't care if I'm telling the truth or not. But I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago I said,
don't trust him, but yeah, he's telling the truth.
Thank you. That's validation enough. 2 weeks ago I was saying, Chicago and Detroit are going to slide. Minnesota's at the top right now. I think Cleveland's the best team in this division. They're going to be the contenders. And the Royals are going to need to get on a run to stay in that conversation. And they've done that. They're not just the third team in the middle. They are literally in the standings, the third team in the middle of the standings. But they're not the midway point. I mean, Cleveland has 39 wins. Minnesota has 38. The Royals have 37. They're two games back of Cleveland. A game and a half back of Minnesota. And right now, the Royals are doing it exactly when they need to be. Because as good as it is to beat the bad teams, as important as it is to win the games you're supposed to win, to come back from the deficit they put themselves in at the beginning of the season, they have to win games that they have no business winning. That's what happened on Friday. On Friday, they got a good start from Jake Junis. And they blew it. They blew it. It was 4-1 in the ninth inning, right? Charlie, please validate me again. Charlie says it was. The only thing I remember for sure is things that I have said previously that I got correct. Everything else I forget eventually, especially whenever I'm wrong. I will forget in a moment that I thought that the Chiefs were going to beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Just kidding. That one sticks forever. Also that I thought the Chiefs were going to beat Andrew Luck in the playoffs. All right. I digress. The Royals got a good start from Jake Junis. Joaquin Soria did not help matters, and the Royals could not give him any meaningful run support. They blew that game. Again, they should have won because the thing in that equation that was most uncertain was, can Jake Junis throw a baseball and not have it immediately sent out of the baseball park? That was the concern in that game. And that went the Royals' way. But the offense just disappeared. And that's an L you chalk up and saying, man, the Royals just can't afford to lose those games. They can't afford to lose whenever Jake Junis has a quality start. Can't afford it. That's how losing teams stay losing. How losing teams start winning is by lining up in the ninth inning of that exact game that has clearly been lost and a quality start that has been clearly wasted. And they win it in the bottom of the ninth instead of letting it go. That's the kind of thing that you have to do to convince me and the rest of baseball, and in some cases, just the actual stat sheet that has your record, that you're more than a 500 baseball team. You've got to win the games you're supposed to win and get a few that you're not. And if you do that, we're all going to stop talking about the trade deadline. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about the trade deadline because it's actually still extremely important. But it's getting harder and harder for even me, someone who's been ready to sell since game four. It's getting even harder for me to figure out the decision that I would make in Dayton Moore's shoes. The good news is they got, what, a month to figure it out? July 31st, the trade deadline. Got about a month. And this next month is going to be as important as any July in baseball for anybody in recent history. And that's kind of hyperbolic, but I mean it. This next month is going to inform the next move. If the Royals' July looks like the Royals' June, then we're all going to get a full season of Hosmer, Moustakas, Kane, Herrera, Vargas. We're gonna get the whole season of that. If they repeat their July, if they repeat their June and July. If they regress, if they have a losing streak, then we're all going to be back in that same place of, oh man, do you build for the future? You got such good pieces here. But if this is any sort of consistent, if they break out of the cycle that makes a 500 team 500, then the whole conversation starts to change. And the conversation becomes, would you move any other pieces in the minors to go get yourself a shortstop who can hit? You want to add an arm to the bullpen, maybe? Also, by the way, like, the Royals are having their best stretch without Danny Duffy. And Danny Duffy doesn't guarantee you wins, but he guarantees you games that you're supposed to win. Like yesterday, I haven't really talked about yesterday's game very much, because yesterday's game wasn't that interesting. And they won 3-2. It was tight. It was a tense game. But it wasn't a particularly interesting game. Why? Because the Royals were supposed to win that game 3-2. Like that's about right. Jason Vargas is leading Major League Baseball in victories for a pitcher. Going up against the Blue Jays, who have been struggling as a sub-500 team, who has some of the same hot and cold streaks. But the Blue Jays, a sub-500 team. Jason Vargas pitches 7 full innings. I think he gave up 8 hits, which is not ideal, but whatever. Couple earned runs. And the bullpen shuts it down. Soria pitches a full good inning. Herrera gets the save. Royals scored a run in the 3rd, 4th, and 7th. No big innings, just enough. Just chipping them in. That's how the Royals are supposed to play whenever Jason Vargas is starting. You win the game 3-2. And then you move on to Jason Hamill, and you cross your fingers, and you say, this is a game that I'm not sure if we're supposed to win or not. But Liriano for the Blue Jays starting today has a 5.76 ERA. Which actually makes Jason Hamels 4.83 look balmy. So you got another game. The Royals today should win. They should just win today. And it might be an interesting game because you're looking at some volatile pitching. But what I've seen over these last few days with the Salvi Grand Slam, with the walk-off on Friday, and with the boring, by-the-book 3-2 win yesterday, right now, the Royals are winning the games they're supposed to win, and they're winning some of the games they're not supposed to win. That's how a 500 team stops being 500. 913-3810-810 is the phone number if you want to call in. 913-3810-810. Let's talk about the Royals. We'll talk about the trade deadline a little bit more coming up next. We'll get to John Dorsey later on, some NBA talk later on. This show is going to be packed for 3 hours. My only concern is that this McDonald's iced coffee that I bought this morning might give me diabetes before the show's over. But I guess I could do the show without legs, right? We'll talk more Royals whenever we come back.
This is Sports Sunday.
I gain energy by talking.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's really true. In fact, I was just thinking as I walked back from the break room after devouring a third of a chocolate cake donut that was here from yesterday morning whenever McShaffer brought in donuts. As I was thinking about diabetes that I'm definitely incurring with this enormous iced coffee from McDonald's and that half a donut, which was the second half donut I'd had this morning. I don't sleep well. On weekends especially, because I have to come in really early and start up, like, the station. Like, we have, like, a crank, like an old-timey car, and I put the crank into the generator that runs the satellite. Sure. And I just, you know, crank away like I'm in a old-timey cartoon. And if I don't get here on time, or, like, God forbid, I don't wake up. Not like that I die, but like that I don't wake up to my alarm in a timely manner. God forbid I die in my sleep. Nothing happens here until someone else gets here. So that just, I've been doing that for like a year and a half now, I think, here. And I've actually gotten progressively like more anxious about it. So I just sleep terribly on weekends because also I'm up late often because everyone else is like, it's the weekend. Let's watch movies and party by watching movies. And I go, well, I don't want to miss, you know, any great fun time. I don't want to not watch La La Land with all of you guys. True story, that happened earlier this weekend. I'll talk about La La Land later. I go, I don't want to not watch La La Land with my friends. Sure, let's watch La La Land. And then I go to bed at 2 o'clock to get up at 4:45, and I'm like, oh my God, God, why have you forsaken me? So what I did this morning is I was just up, like, actually earlier than I needed to be. And so I went to McDonald's on the way here, and I was like, hello, yes, I'd like your largest iced coffee, please. No flavoring, just black. Because whenever I go get coffee, I get cold brews from Starbucks sometimes. It's the geekiest thing. I know I'm a snob. I know. I get it. I know that sounds so bougie. But I mean, I get my cold brew from Starbucks, my venti cold brew from Starbucks. It's just like a black cold brew coffee, which is great because it's not super acidic. It's nice. I really like it. I know this wasn't cold brew, but I was like, oh, I'll just get iced coffee from McDonald's. And then they give it to me. And it is, I'm gonna guess it's like one part coffee, weakish coffee, one part heavy cream, and one part simple syrup. Just diabetic fluid. So it's delicious. But I've realized as I've been drinking, a little over halfway through this morning, I've been realizing that I have a pain in my chest. And I'm guessing the donut's going to help that go away. I don't know why I would think that, but it's the decision that I've made. And if it didn't, then I'm sure it has nothing to do with the breakfast burrito that I also got from McDonald's. I also had some Little Caesars pizza last night, which was delicious at the time, and is now a really gross memory. So I don't treat my body well in any way, especially on weekends. So I just have chest pain. But I do, the only thing that gives me energy on these weekend mornings is the sound of my own voice. The realization that I am at least technically being paid to talk right now. And that puts a spring in my step. I don't remember how I started there or how we got there at all. Also, did you guys know that the Broncos Stadium this year is going to be named after a company that doesn't exist anymore? Because I guess it's still Sports Authority Field, and I think they went... Charlie, can you look that up for me, please, and make sure that I've got that right? I got the facts on that right. So I saw the tweet, and I was like, oh, that must be because Sports Authority Field is still on the stadium, and that company went under, but I never actually like clicked the link. I just read the tweet because I'm a millennial. Pretty much voted on Twitter. Anyway, we talked about the Royals in the first segment, and they're in a really interesting place right now because they're a 500 team, above 500 for the first time this year, but I'm going to continue to call them a 500 team because I was calling them a 500 team whenever they're four games under also. They're more or less a 500 team, but they haven't looked like it recently. And that, I will contend, always happens to truly 500 baseball teams. You play 162 games. Every 500 team is going to have some six-game winning and losing streaks here and there. Charlie's shaking his head right now, and that concerns me.
Just finding that the Broncos still have not still haven't resold stadium naming rights. Wow, I cannot talk.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So it's still Sports Authority Field, right? And that company no longer exists.
Technically, it is, but they're looking for a new name.
I think they're stuck with it this season.
New sponsor, I guess.
I think the news that came out was that they're doing it through the season. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. I just saw it on this NFL Network thing. They're talking about how great Peyton Manning is. By the way, my parents still aren't divorced, according to my mom, who Facebook messaged me and said, thanks for clarifying. How great is that, by the way? Also, someone just tuned in 5 minutes ago. Like, what? Why is he saying his parents aren't divorced? Like, what's that update for? Is he having trouble at home or what? Anyway. The Royals are a 500 team at their core, but have not looked like it for the last month. So the next month is going to be hugely, hugely important. Because they have a chance to identify themselves for the future. And a month from now, they're going to have to be making some very big decisions. And as we approach the trade deadline, which is a month from now, that's why I'm saying a month from now. As we approach the trade deadline, the Royals don't actually have a non-move to make. Does that make sense? Because by standing pat, the Royals will be making a pretty tremendous statement. Obviously, if they start selling these big pieces that are going to be gone after this year, then you say, oh, well, they've checked out. That's the end of the era. But if they just stay, last year they just stayed, right? more or less. Moves in the offseason and everything. But last year, the trade deadline, the Royals just said, we call, we stay, we check, whatever. And that was okay. Now, in retrospect, it ended up being kind of the wrong move. Like, they probably could have gotten a pretty good haul from Hosmer, Moustakas, Kane, etc. At least a lot of people were saying that was a bad move a couple of weeks ago before this new hot streak changed everything. But they don't have that option this year. They don't have a non-choice to make. Because if the Royals get up to the trade deadline and nothing happens, they are saying, we are buyers this year. Because they will be buying half a season of Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, and Lorenzo Cain at the expense of whatever those guys would have yielded. Whatever they could have gotten for those pieces is what it will cost to go for it this year. And if you think about it that way, I think you start to, at least I start to go, is that going to be worth it? Because halfway through the season, all you're going to know is that you're contending with Cleveland and Minnesota for the division, and nothing else is set in stone. We had some hypothetical conversations last week about, you know, if you could guarantee the AL Central and nothing else, would you stand pat with the team you have now? But one, that's a hypothetical that we can't do, and two, a little over half of you said that you would take the pennant and not the future, which I understand, but the Royals aren't playing for pennants anymore. I mean, there was a 30-year stretch where any Royals fan would have committed some atrocious crime to get a pennant in Kansas City. But World Series appearance, World Series win, back-to-back years, I think we're pretty much over that, right? Shouldn't we be? Like, I saw the Chiefs win a playoff game for the first time in my lifetime 2 years ago. I'm 22 years old. The Chiefs had not won a playoff game in my lifetime. So seeing them go to Houston and win that game was thrilling. It was thrilling. Now, I don't care about that anymore. I don't care about the Chiefs winning a first-round playoff game. You know, and last year, they had the first-round bye, getting to the second round, at least, before losing. I'm uninterested in the Chiefs winning one playoff game per year ever again. In the next 10 years, I don't care if the Chiefs win a first-round playoff game and then lose in the next. And it's inconsequential to me. They broke the curse, quote-unquote. Now I want bigger things. Now I want to see the Chiefs at least in the AFC Championship game. That's the next thing, at least. And I think with the Royals, we're probably in a pretty similar place right now. Where you've got to look beyond making the playoffs or winning the division. Because we've seen more of that here in Kansas City. We've had that experience and then much more. So you have to, for my money, you have to be able to say, well, we can either stand pat with these guys or sell, but you shouldn't be doing that on, well, can we contend for the division? Because, yes, the Royals can contend for the division. Absolutely. That's over. That conversation can be ended in a word. Can the Royals contend for the AL Central? Yes. Of course. And that's more than we thought a month ago. So that's great. I'm happy that that's the case. But now it's obviously true. Because the Central's not great. Cleveland was not able to pull away before the Royals got hot. Now those top three teams all have a chance. Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City, all in the mix. All of them are in the mix for the wild card also because the whole American League is pretty middle heavy. I think you have to ask yourself, what is this Royals team capable of? And then what do you lose by saying, we are not going to sell? And there are a lot of arguments on either side of, well, you know, selling guarantees you nothing. You're not guaranteed to get back great prospects by trading away your guys who give you a chance to do some winning this year. And of course, you're not. But it does give you the best chance to be successful for the next 5 years or 10 years. But it's a wait. And the state of, the reason that I think this conversation is so difficult even now is because the Royals farm system is depleted. So figuring out the Royals' path to success after this era wraps up is pretty difficult. Like it's going to require bringing in some outside pieces. And the easiest way to do that is at the cost of the current era. At the same time, you could very easily call in here and say, well, if you're playing for success, how are you going to build a team in the next 3 years that has as good of a chance to win as this team this year? And I would just sit here and nod and go, yeah, that's kind of the point. That's why this is so difficult. Because what are the chances of this Royals team getting to the ALCS this year? 10%. That's fair, right? Like that doesn't seem like lowballing, does it? Because like the Astros right now have like a 40% chance. Because getting to a championship game is hard. And the Royals currently are in third place in their division. So maybe they have a 10% chance of making it to the ALCS. Maybe. What percent chance do you have of the return on Eric Hosmer? What percent chance do you have of those prospects becoming real MLB starters that build that team to championship contention? I have no idea. There are so many moving parts there. So maybe this conversation is futile and life is meaningless. I don't know. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. 3-810-810. JT has called in to talk about the Royals. JT, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. I was listening to your discussion and trying to do the pros and cons on buying or selling. Mm-hmm. The thing that occurred to me right away was that you didn't talk about the compensation that's mm-hmm. out there mm-hmm. for the players if they sign somewhere else. And I believe that the Royals have probably four guys that they would get the compensatory picks for.
Right, yes.
Now, that does set the horizon a little longer for your recovery.
Yes.
But nonetheless, it gives you some really good compensation that you can do something with at the minor league level. That's why that alone, I think, weighs the argument in favor of holding the guys you have. That the other thing that I think weighs it in that favor is that this team has gone on magical runs a couple of times already.
Right.
They have that, you know, in them, and they believe in themselves enough that they could do it. So I think it's worth holding tight at this point. And 2 weeks ago, I was completely in the other camp. But they've played sustained good baseball long enough now that I believe that this core of players can do it. And with Duffy coming back and giving him a shot in the arm, it seems to me that that's the right path.
I'm as surprising as you are that I've been pulled over in that direction, because whatever this intangible thing is that's been a part of this Royals team for the last 3 years, it's incredibly consistent. Like, it keeps happening. It's been happening for a long time. So maybe it's not so intangible anymore.
Right. Well, and I think that certain guys just have it in them to say, okay, it's time to do it. Now I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've all seen that, like, in high school level sports or something like that. It's these sabermetricians will tell you that that doesn't really exist in the pros. But I think that's just because they don't have a good way to measure.
Yes, absolutely.
People's ability to do that. And I think that two guys, Salvi and Hosmer, epitomize that with the Royals. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you have those two guys on your team, you should probably hold tight. As long as you have those two guys on your team and you have a mathematical, reasonable chance, you should hold tight and give it a shot.
JT, I always appreciate it. I think you just might be right.
Thanks, guys.
I didn't expect to find myself here either. But, and so JT brought up the compensation thing. Because the MLB has a new formula for compensatory picks. And I just went to, found this MLB.com article. And I'll try to explain what this says as well as possible. In the new system, when a player reaches free agency, his former team may make to him what is known as a qualifying offer worth the average amount of the previous season's top 125 salaries. Last season, that was $13.3 million. If he accepts the offer, then, you know, he's playing for that team. If he declines, the team that signs him gives up a draft pick, while the team losing the player gains a draft pick, though not the same pick. Don't fall asleep if you're driving. The signing team gives up a first-round selection unless it's a top-10 selection. In that case, they give up their next pick after that. The team losing the player, this is what the Royals are going to be doing after this year, for if they keep their guys and they don't re-sign Hosmer and Kane, let's say, then the Royals would be, under this new system, the Royals would be getting a sandwich pick at the end of the first round. So it's essentially, depending on how many players qualify for this, you're talking about a pick between maybe 30 and 50. So it's not a lost cause if you let your guys walk. You're not getting nothing in return. But you're getting significantly less than what you could get for Eric Hosmer on the open market. Because if you're, or Kelvin Herrera right now, who wouldn't be a free agent next year? He's not a free agent until after next season. You know, if the Nationals come to you and say, we need a center fielder, here's our third best prospect and our seventh best prospect, and those guys are close to being ready, then you're getting more pro-ready players instead of drafting a high school kid with the 40th pick, who you're not going to hear from in the majors for five more years. To me, the really, across the board in baseball, draft picks are kind of setting you up for the next era if you're a bad team. Especially if you're at the end of an era, with where the Royals are now. I cannot tell you the name of the guy the Royals just drafted. Charlie will be able to in 30 seconds because he's got a nose for finding out the name of this guy.
Nick Prado.
Look at that. You could have just chimed in immediately. You just knew it. He's a pitcher, right?
He's not a pitcher. He's a first baseman.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. There's a pitcher that I'm thinking of that I can't remember. I can't place him. Regardless. Is the first baseman a high school kid?
Yes.
There we go. So. I think you're right.
Because, we did just pick up a pitcher. Just sign one for
right.
agency.
Yes, and cut Chris Young, closer. And it's mm-hmm. not going to, hopefully it's not going to matter.
Thinking of.
No, it's not. I'm thinking of a high school pitcher, but I can't remember where it honestly doesn't matter. The first baseman that the Royals just took, the high schooler, he's obviously not Eric Hosmer's replacement. You're at the end of the Hosmer era, then you're probably going to go into a place where you've got a handful of guys alternating, trying to get some stability there. You look over and you see Brandon Moss playing first base a couple of days, and you're like, dear God, like, why? Like, this makes me sadder than my parents' divorce. Watching Brandon Moss play first base. And you sink into that era. And then you hope that 5 years down the line, your high school first baseman is ready to play in the pros. How long is, I mean, Bubba Starling's been in the system for 14 years at this point, right? Travis is 24 years. 34 years? Okay. Bubba Starling is 75. So the draft compensation is something. It's helpful, but it's not anywhere close to what they could be pulling. Back to the phones. Let's go to Bill. Bill, welcome to Sports Sunday. How are you?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
I hear about your parents' divorce. That's a killer.
My parents.
I'm just kidding.
My mom is going to be so mad.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, give you a little insight on what I think about, you know, maybe holding tight. I think the Royals, I had a question in there as well, but I think they should hold tight, man. I mean, I know you said, you know, what's their chance of getting to the American League championship game, their third in their division, and, you know, maybe winning a division isn't enough. In my opinion, man, I mean, in order to get there, you have to maybe win the division. And
sure.
I don't see this Royals team, if they trade away their parts, being anywhere close to that in the next 5 to 7 years with what the Yankees got, with their young bombers and all that
right.
money that got freed up.
Right.
So I don't know if we have any better chance in the next decade. I mean, that put you at like 32, brother, getting old.
Right, I know. At that point, I'm looking at retirement.
Anything like this again. So
yeah.
I'm in it for keeping it. And the question I had is, when everyone complains about how we kind of dumped the farm system when we had got Cueto and Zobrist, what do we really lose other than Will Meyer? I mean, I don't really know. Are any of those other guys really balling? And I'll leave listen off the air.
Bill, thank you for the call and for the condolences. It doesn't matter, man. They could have traded Babe Ruth for Johnny Cueto, and I'd be like, well, I mean, that's, you know, that was a real oversight. Also, Babe Ruth at that point was like 150, so I mean, that was kind of a strange thing for the Reds to be into. But it doesn't matter. They won the World Series. Sometimes the ends do justify the means. Sometimes if you make a move and it ends in a championship, you simply made the right move. And they didn't overpay for Zobrist or Cueto. There was no exasperation at the time. And you know, like the whole like James Shields trade. It brought you. I mean, you can go back to trading away Zach Greinke. The Royals every trade back to Zach Greinke more or less got justified by a World Series. And that's completely okay. You can say in a case like that, the ends absolutely justify the means. And this year, if it ends in a World Series appearance, which I think is a huge thing to talk about right now, that's right over our heads. If you're even entertaining it to that extent right now, that would justify not getting in the Hall of Prospects that you could eventually be hoping for, or you could be getting in return for Hosmer and Moustakas and Kane. But a month ago, I was upset with people who are saying, you know, let's try it out. Let's just see. Because you do have to build for the future. I want to be covering a Royals team that has a chance next year. And the year after that, and the year after that also. But right now, that's as little of a guarantee as anything. Right now, you got a hot baseball team that looks like they want to contend for the division and maybe more. Sports Sunday.